I love that with this podcast, I get to speak with photographers all over the world about all different things. And my guest today, Chip Dizzard, is a wedding and branding photographer based out of the Baltimore, Maryland area. I have followed Chip's work for a really long time, and I was so excited to sit down and have this conversation with him, talk about how life has changed since he became a photographer over 15 years ago, what he was doing before, and how social media has impacted his business. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast.
You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enphoto hosted by Dori Howell. You are in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. All right, welcome everybody to Focal Points, sponsored by Enphoto. I'm super glad that you're here. I'm your host today, Dori Howell, and I'm very excited because I have someone on the podcast today that I have wanted to sit down and chat with for over a year or two, and he doesn't know that I've been following his work for quite a while. And when the opportunity came for me to be able to have him on the podcast and just have a real frank conversation about photography and social media and all those great things, I was very, very excited to do that. So Chip, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dori, for having me. I'm honored and I'm so glad to be here on this podcast. It's real exciting.
Yeah, it took a while for us to make this happen, but I'm really, really glad that you're here with me today. Now, we were talking earlier before I started recording, and Chip is actually, I don't know if some people would say local to me, but you're pretty local to me in the Washington, D.C. area. I am in Virginia, and you are in?
Maryland. So we call this area the DMV for people that don't know. Right. DC, Maryland, right. Virginia, especially Northern Virginia.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is where I am. So we're in the DMV, which, like Chip said, if you're local here, you don't think of the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know exactly what that means. That is DC, Maryland, and Northern Virginia. So, and Chip is a branding and wedding photographer. So I just thought we'd take a few minutes, Chip, and let our audience get to know you a little bit so you can tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, well, I started shooting and actually professionally in 2010 when a friend of mine, actually I was doing probably prior to that, but a friend of mine asked me to do his wedding. I was doing a lot of photography and more videography in the church world. And he said, "Hey, Chip, can you do my wedding?" I was like, "Oh, I don't know how to do weddings. I just know how to do stuff like I do at a church service." And that's why I was used to doing tech at the church service. And
then you were on the tech team.
Yeah, this is when live streaming first came out. So I'm dating myself, right? So this is when we had live stream, but you couldn't watch live stream from your cell phone. Right. You had to watch it from a computer, and you had to have usually a Windows. The Macs didn't work that well. You really needed a Windows computer. I'm a Mac guy now, but back in the day, it was like a Windows only, you know? And we used this thing called Adobe Flash. I don't know if people still know about that. Adobe Flash.
Okay, we don't need to go back that far, Chip, because you and I are not that old. We are not that old.
I'm taking you back. But this is before you get – now live streaming is everywhere, so it doesn't really matter. But so he asked me to do his wedding. So we shot photos and video. And then when I posted the video on YouTube, a lot of people saw it. It wasn't really a reception. So it was a long wedding. It was like because his wife to be was an opera singer, and they had like a concert wedding. So I put it on YouTube. It's still on YouTube to this day. And it got so many views. And people were like, "Who shot this? Who did this?" And it was like a concert. It was in a big church. I didn't know I was getting into this. And I was like, wow. And then just more referrals from my network start coming, you know? Mm-hmm. And then in circa probably, you know, took a couple of years off. I didn't do it. Didn't think anything about it. The circa like 2014, I said, you know what? I need to get some professional training and do something, you know? Mm-hmm. And got some professional training.
What were you doing?
I was teaching. I was actually teaching.
You're teaching?
I was working in Baltimore City, a public school system. I was teaching photography and video. And I was working at the district office at the school headquarters as a TV station manager. And then I morphed into teaching at the district level at a school in Baltimore. And I was quite happy doing that from about 2010 to 2015. I was quite happy doing that. And I just got an inkling from one of my mentors that, "Chip, you're going to be traveling. You're going to do anything." I said, "Listen, dude, I have a passport, but I barely use it. I can barely get gigs out of the Baltimore area. People don't know who I am." You know? And he took me to the Bahamas. And he said, "Well, listen, here's a catch, though. Will you go to Bahamas with me? Because I wasn't even a shooter. He was already booked a photographer. I was coming to shoot drone shots. And this is when drones, when we first came out, everybody didn't have a drone. I had a drone. I had like, it's like having version one of the iPhone, right? You know it's garbage, but you just get it anyway.
And there was so much fascination, so much fascination with drones back there at that time. You know, I told you we just got back from Jamaica and there were drones, even though it was against the resort rules. I mean, there were drones everywhere. There was this lady in the pool with a drone above the pool, just controlling it from her phone. And I'm like, maybe I need to get one of those. I don't know. But it looks so much easier than what is. I was, what it used to be.
Used to be. So anyway, my drones were large. Bahamas. Yeah, so we were in the Bahamas. Yeah. So I took it and I got it in the air and it was like, oh my goodness, it was nervous. And this is when I was scared to bring things to an overseas country because you didn't know if it was going to get confiscated. They didn't really know. Now everybody, drones are so tiny, but this one was big. I had to bring it in a suitcase. Like I meant it like a carry-on suitcase almost. So did it, got some buzz from it. The catch was, and this was where I morphed into a lot of the business stuff I do. When he told me, he said, Chip, I'm not going to pay for your ticket to Bahamas. You're coming to shoot me, but you have to pay. I was like, wait a second. You want me to help
Excuse
you?
I gotta pay
for myself.
Right?
And I thought about it. I was like, man, this is crazy. So I turned him down. But then I thought about it. I said, I want to travel. I want to get Caribbean weddings. And I don't have anything. So nobody knows I can't even do anything. So guess what?
Yeah.
He was paying for my hotel and my transportation and my food. I just had to buy a plane ticket. And as you know, back then, teachers don't make a lot of money. And tickets to Bahamas were expensive. And, you know, and it was during the summertime when I was not working. So when you don't work, you don't get paid as a teacher. So I didn't have a salary during the summertime. So I was working little odd jobs and things like that. But nothing that I could spend, you know, $1,000-some plane ticket back then. So I scrounged up the money on credit cards and I got the ticket. And I finally said, you know what? And then I used all my drone pictures and my video for my portfolio. And then I started getting booked for drones and started getting booked for weddings. And then slowly but surely, and in 2016, my first own wedding from somebody I knew in the Baltimore City public school system in the Dominican Republic. Then I was able to take my team over there. So I invested in myself.
I love it.
And then I helped other people because I took a risk. And I took myself out there.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great lesson also, I think, to the fact of looking at opportunities that on the surface may not look that great, but taking an opportunity and realizing I can make something of this and I can get something from this that will help me so much in the long run, and not just closing off those opportunities that don't look attractive from the very beginning, or maybe you're not getting paid enough or getting paid at all. There is a way that you can strategize and create momentum for yourself within those opportunities most of the time. Not all the time, because sometimes, we know people just be cheap and they don't want to pay us. But
Correct.
If you look at the big picture of things, if there's something you can get from it, sometimes there is an advantage of taking those opportunities and seeing what you can do with it. And it is a risk, but a lot of business is a risk. You know, going into business for yourself is a risk. Becoming an entrepreneur, especially a creative entrepreneur, is a big risk. So you got your first international wedding, you were being able to take people with you and that type of thing. Now I want to ask you how, because you've seen the same shift that I've seen in the industry, and you know, when we first started our business, Facebook was barely a thing, right? Like if we want to date ourselves, like let's date ourselves, right? So Facebook was barely a thing. So how has this change in social media and in marketing your business, do you think has it helped or hindered you?
I think it's helped me tremendously because I'm open to things that are new. I've always been a techie. So I saw it like, especially when Facebook, let's not even talk about Instagram, let's talk about Facebook, when they change our business pages from, remember we used to post our business pages and it showed up on the feed. You didn't have to boost posts or do anything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we was like, oh my God, we got to pay to play. I was okay with that because I figured in my head that, you know what? Most of these photographers are going to be too cheap because they're like, oh my God. So I'm going to figure out how to learn and master social media marketing and Facebook ad marketing. So I studied took some classes, did some of the stuff. So I really started out well, and I was able to come above the fray because I was willing to put money in places and waste a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's trial and error, right? Yeah, trial and error.
Into Facebook marketing, especially when it came to my business page. Well, in a business page, it's in posts and things like that. So I liked it. I didn't love it, but I saw it like this. It's like when you go to Disney World or Disneyland and you get this thing called a flash pass or whatever it's called, and you can get to the front
it's
of the
line. It's a fast pass, Chip. It's a fast pass. Okay. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
One. Yeah. I know. I have kids. And we all been to Disney. And you know Disney is expensive in itself. So
yes, to it get is.
A shorter line, you pay more. And it's still a long line there. It's like TSA pre-check, but it's still, I figured that. But I also figured that you had to have three things, Dory. And I say this all the time to my mentees. I say you have to have good work. You have to, and that means that people who are your peers have to, not only your peers, but your clients have to continue to book you. Good branding, that's your website. That's your, of course, social media. And then the third thing a lot of people don't have is what I help people with, good contacts. If people don't know you, like if you don't follow me or if you don't research me or do stuff, like I don't even be on this podcast. So people have to know that you're credible and like, hey, I know Chip or hey, I know Dora. She's official. You know, you wouldn't be the host of this podcast if you weren't official. If you weren't, if that, you didn't have receipts.
That's kind
of
true.
No, I'm just saying that because that's the reality and people are just starting out have to know that the work takes you so far, but your name goes even further. And that's what I figured out really quickly, especially when it came to social media marketing.
Creating a beautiful product line to show to our clients and present to our clients sometimes can be really difficult because the options seem endless. One thing that my clients love and what I offer everyone is the Complete Set by Enphoto. It's a 3-in-1 combo product that allows me to give them a beautiful presentation box, a USB, and also a book or an album of all their images from their event or their session. And it's something that is a hit every single time. If you're looking for samples for your studio, absolutely take advantage of the 75% discount that Enphoto offers all new clients. Head over to our show notes page and grab that sample discount today. Right. Now, did you stick really heavily into social media marketing or were you able to take that initial touch point of a Facebook ad or that type of thing and do any in-person marketing? Yeah. Or have you stayed pretty much on social?
No. I didn't just stick with social. I love in-person marketing because I think nothing beats a referral, a hard referral.
Yeah.
And especially if you're in the wedding business. I tell people all the time, if you have a solid word of mouth, a wedding planner, a cake baker, whoever, a DJ. Because here's the thing about referrals. People love, and I teach on this, people love telling people who is good in their life. So, Dory, if I say, hey, I'm in Vienna. I'm stuck. I'm looking for a great mechanic. You would say, you know what? I got a great mechanic in Vienna. Or I have a great mechanic in Dumfries or wherever I am in Virginia. Or I'm looking for a great photographer. So they love to share people that have done well by them. And I think that is the thing that I want to get to a point where my word of mouth and my social media worked in tandem. And my, of course, my SEO and other stuff. But we have all those gears running, especially that. You tend to do well and tend to stay around. The people that's been around a long time have good word of mouth. Of course, they have great work. Of course, they have good branding. But they have referrals that keep coming and coming, and they work. But they don't work as hard as some of other photographers.
Yes, that is true. That is true. That once you can get a referral chain working and you start getting that business in, the business is easier to secure. First of all, because people who have pager rates and seen your work, they've researched you before they've seen you. It isn't just a matter of a Google search. Like they have that connection. And I think we all know that I'm more inclined to seriously look at hiring someone if they've come well recommended from a friend or a coworker or someone that I trust. And I think that's just human nature that we're going to lean into that a little bit more. I think when you were talking earlier about paying to play on Facebook. You know, Facebook, I think, gave a lot of small business owners, and I don't just want to say photographers, but small business owners, a little bit of a unrealistic idea of what it was like to truly market and promote a business, because they made it so easy at first with when they were showing posts to everyone. And, you know, the photography community screamed when they started not showing posts unless you promoted them and boosted them, or however you do it with your ads. But it's actually more of an equal playing field, I think, now. It's like, you know, if you want to invest in your business, business is an investment. It's not just our cameras. It's also going to be our marketing, our advertising, our branding. All of the things that go into that are going to cost money. And that's what businesses have to do to get the word out and get hired. And it was, for a time being, maybe even like 8 to 10 years, where people just thought, oh, I'm just going to throw up this fan page and then they'll see all my images and they'll want to hire me. And that's really not how true business works. And that's not what you're going to see people like us who've been in it longer than a decade and still busy. That's not how we're running our business behind the scenes and promoting our business behind the scenes. Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I know you love to teach on this topic. How did, you know, we've seen all these different changes in social media. And one of the biggest changes that we've seen maybe in the past 2-3 years is the basic requirement for us to be producing short form video. You know, we heard Instagram saying and Facebook saying this for a while, that they're going to, videos what gets the attention, videos what gets the attention. And now I think we know that to be absolutely true. So how did that shift work for your business?
Yeah, well, it worked actually seamlessly for me, because when I first started in the wedding business, like I said earlier, I was more into the video side. I switched more. Mm-hmm. I was doing photography as well. But then I figured that, you know what? I said, these videos are looking really cinematic and they're looking really good. I need to switch. I mean, it was a good thing. This is when I was shooting wedding videos, when they look like, you know, didn't look like the, you know, Hollywood movies. They right. just look average. And when I saw that, I said, okay, I can only get so much better. So I was familiar with it. I was doing nonprofit and church videos for a long time anyway. The short form cell phone videos, I didn't think would stick. I'll be honest. I just thought we would always be horizontal. I never thought that the way we shoot video, where I could go into a restaurant like I did the other day and shoot some video and get paid for it from my cell phone. Like, that just isn't blows that amazing? My mind.
Yeah, I was the same way when the orientation went from horizontal to vertical. I had a real tough time with that. I'm like,
I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did too.
But now when I'm looking at them on my phone, it makes total sense. But the thing is so funny. I'll be scrolling through TikTok or Reels or that type of thing, and I have my iPad, but I'll be sitting in a chair and it's more comfortable for me to have my iPad horizontal. Mm-hmm. But the videos are still vertical. Right. And my daughter will walk by me, who's almost 15, and she'll just be like, Mom, no, you can't. You have to turn your iPad. Like, you just can't do that. It's something that she just doesn't even relate to. But it's just more comfortable for me to hold it that way. But you can't do that on the phone. You can do that on an iPad, but you can't do it on phone otherwise. Yeah. Well, at least with me, with my eyes, I would never see it, like, at all. Nothing at all. So you liked that switch from
It was hard.
Moving into the short form.
Okay. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard for me because I was, you know, widescreen, you know, everything was shooting that way. And even with my photography, I like shooting wide and not vertical, because you get more of a landscape, more of a, you know. So I had to reprogram myself, but as long as we have cell phones that look a certain way, that dictated how we shot. So I thought about it and I said, you know, I may not like it, but this is how I have to make a living. You know, I may not love it, but, you know, I have to reprogram myself. So, yes, I'm not on board with everything that Instagram and Facebook and, you know, even TikTok does. But I understand where we are now, and I understand that things change and things may come back. And you never know 10 years from now what will happen. You don't know who will be around.
You don't know.
And we have no clue, because 10 years ago, did we know about a TikTok? 10 years ago, did we know?
I did not know about a tickety talk.
Yeah, nope. I mean, it was called Musically. I remember my daughter was on it doing little dance videos. I was like, oh, that's for little, you know, preteens or whatever. Now I'm like, oh my God, look at me on this thing. You know what I mean? So we just
it's changed
don't know.
A lot.
Yeah,
people. I think especially, dare I say, older photographers you know, they still think of TikTok as being this musically just dancing videos thing. And I can say 100% on my TikTok, on my FYP, you know, I don't see dancing videos. I'm seeing talking mm-hmm. videos. I'm hearing about stories. I'm seeing funny things. You know, trending things will come through with the dancing. But for the most part, that's not what I'm seeing. And that's not what I'm seeing on Instagram Reels as much either. And I see photographers being like, well, I shouldn't have to dance to get business. No, you don't have to dance to get business. But people will pay more attention to you if they are somewhat entertained by the content that you put out. And so to tell an interesting story, to do an interesting transition, to be able to do those things, I think is really, really important. Now, since you were used to doing these big horizontal videos and that type of stuff, how have you been able to, what tools are you using and so forth to be able to edit these short-form videos or these short-form videos that make it easy for you?
Yeah, well, one of the tools right now, of course, I've used TikTok and what they have in there. One of the apps I use is called, it's a free app on iPhone and Android. It's called VN Video Editor. And then there's another one called CapCut a lot of people use. But even if
I've heard of CapCut.
You heard of CapCut? Yeah, a lot of people use that. Because it feels like the TikTok editor as well. Mm-hmm. But VN is free. So people who are starting out on editing video that don't know much, and they have a lot of good tutorials mm-hmm. on YouTube about it. So
you can learn how to do anything on YouTube.
Yeah, you really can.
I use InShot. A lot. I like InShot.
I do have InShot as well. Mm-hmm. I do have InShot. That's not free, though. That's not free.
Well, they have a free version. I do have the paid version. It wasn't very much for an annual thing. But the reason why I got InShot, and probably these other programs can do it as well, is because when, as a still photographer, because I never got into the video side of things, as a still photographer, I'm like, how can I show my images in video form? If that's mm-hmm. what... I'm a firm believer in feeding the beast what the beast wants to eat. So if Instagram and TikTok and Facebook want video, then that's what we should be feeding it. So how do I make a picture a video so that I can put that out there? And InShot was the first tool that I was able to, that I heard of that was able to take that, do that functionality fairly easily. And I, you know, also went pretty reluctantly into doing a lot of this stuff on my phone. And since I kind of changed my mindset on that, realized, okay, no, this is a pretty powerful tool that I can do some pretty amazing things with. Like I said, I have bad eyes. I wish this, you know, I have the biggest iPhone you can get. Like my husband was like, really, you need like the big one? I'm like, yeah, I really do need the big one. Like I just, so I do, I will do it on my iPad sometimes, but it is, I can do it while I'm sitting in my living room or in parking lot waiting for my car, waiting for my daughter to get out of cheer or something. I'm not tied to my desk as much. And that has been very, very freeing when it comes to those kinds of things. I have held you entirely too long, and I think I could sit and talk to you for hours. So can you come back?
Will you come back? I sure can. No, we can do part two. I am here and I am ready, and we can just chat like, you know, I love chatting.
I love it so much. I don't mean to cut us off, and I know that you are a big, big proponent of photography education and building photographers up and wanting to see their success. So can you tell my audience where they can find you and learn more about how you support the photography industry?
Sure. My website is dizard.com, and that is my education website, my photography website, where I help photographers, and you can see some of my work, and you can see where I speak and what I'm doing next. So really want to help photographers thrive and creatives thrive, not only in business and just in life, because I think this is an honorable profession. Sometimes people don't take it seriously. Sometimes mm-hmm. they think it's a hobby, but mm-hmm. people make a great living. I've been fortunate since 2015 to make a really good living off of it. But more importantly, to capture memories and to share it, get people years later. I run into the street and say, "You did my so-and-so's, my auntie's wedding." I was like, "Oh my God, I'm feeling old." But
No, don't bring up the aunties. Don't bring up the aunties, right?
So I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" But you know, it's it's really I'm really fortunate, and I think that we have a responsibility, Dory, like you do now, to give back and to help others, because someone helped me, you know, gave me a chance when I didn't know what I was doing. So I feel like I should do the same.
I love it. I love it so very much. Well, you're going to be able to link to all of Chip's websites, Instagram, all those good things, be able to find him on our show notes page, which is focalpointspodcast.com. Look for his smiling picture and you'll know that you are in the right place. And make sure that you follow him and check him out, because he's a really great educator and also just has a true heart for our industry, which I think is awesome. So Chip, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dory. I appreciate it as well. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.